I'm amazed that, you know, I just had a conversation with someone, they love Jesus, and yet living a lifestyle that's totally against what Jesus has said. Right? And in here, it's imperative for us to realize the words of Christ and apply them to our lives, that His words are truth. And we need to hunger for those things. And actually this morning, we're going to be talking the idea of communion, of Jesus being the bread and His blood, what He gave for us. And this picture of sustenance. Now, I love bread. It depends on who you talk to. You know, it's wicked, it's evil, it's carbs, but it's so good. Anyone here make homemade bread? I'm just... 1, 2, 3. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm just trying to... Yeah, you're done, right? I mean, give me a loaf of bread and a stick of butter. I'm a happy John. And we take it all for so much for granted. And so if we talk about these things, Jesus uses these illustrations for us to help us understand, but also to challenge us. And so as we look at the Word this morning, we really want the Spirit to give us understanding of what He's saying. So we can understand His words, so we can apply it. Because we're going to see here, Jesus actually starts talking, and people kind of get bent out of shape. People get offended. And today, in our society, we're like, oh, don't you ever offend anyone. Right? Well, you know what? If you then you end up like a politician who says a whole lot, but says nothing. Right? The minute you take a stand, you're going to offend those who don't like it. Now look, I'm not asking you to go around and be a jerk, be an idiot, try to offend. But stand on the Word of God, on His truth. And that's, I'm not the offense, and He is. And so in here, we go through this, and we're going to jump into an area, like I said, where Jesus says some things and really rustles up the crowd. And the question is, if Jesus is who He says He is, do we follow Him to lead us through? Because there are things that you and I don't understand. Right? I've been preaching now for 20 years. I'm getting old. Don't you laugh. He's like, oh yeah. But we turn around and we look and we study the Word of God. And yet there are so many things that, you know what? I'm still trying to piece together. Because this reflects an infinite God. And I'm so finite. And how arrogant do I think that I have it all figured out? And so sometimes by faith I come to Him. That's why the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Right? So by faith, God, I don't understand this all, but this is what You said, so I'm going to trust You. We see this all played out throughout the Scriptures. This has nothing to do with the sermon I'm preaching on tonight, this morning. So I don't know how I'm going to work on that 20-minute sermon. We'll see how that works out. Yeah, I know. And so we look at this, right? But it's so important for us to realize. Because sometimes when I think of Abraham who brought Isaac up to sacrifice, God says, look, take your son and sacrifice him. That does not make sense. Right? You can build a theological case, right? Israel was not supposed to sacrifice their children as other nations were. God wouldn't ask for a human sacrifice. Yet God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And we said, by faith, Abraham trusted God. Right? And we saw how it all worked out, but not until the last moment. God doesn't always tell you what's going on. And I used to be kind of worked up over that, because I'm kind of like, God, what are You doing? You ever felt that way? You know, check your email. God didn't text me today and told me what was going to happen. He didn't warn me. And then somewhere in my life, I'm kind of like, God, you know, I'm glad I didn't know. Right? If you knew everything was going to happen to you over the last, say, 2 years, you would have gave up. But God gives you the strength. Give us this day our daily bread. And I love that word bread, because we're going to follow that throughout the Scriptures this morning. There we go. Now I'm brought it back around. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. Remember, at this point we talk about Judas left the room. Right? Jesus said, someone here is going to betray Me. And they're all like, is it I? Is it I? And Judas says, is it I? He's like, yeah, you snake. Yeah. And he went off and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And so now, if you want to say at this point, we have the true believers, right? We have Jesus' disciples gathered up in this upper room. And this is all part of the Passover meal. It was a celebration of the deliverance, right? Of the death angel passing over the Israelites in Egypt. And for all those that the blood was applied, had safety and deliverance. And they were supposed to remember this. And Jesus comes into the scene. And he uses this bread, and he uses the wine, and he uses these elements, and he draws them into a new meaning for us. But as Israel was be passed over by applying the blood of the Lamb to our hearts, we are given life. That through him, he is our deliverer, he is our redeemer, he is our savior, he is our Lord, he is our king, he is all those things. And as Jesus is sitting there and remembering God the Father who did all these things, Jesus says, this is me. And if you take these elements, look what he says here. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from all of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. He takes these elements and declares, this is me. You know, this morning we're going to celebrate communion. We usually do it mid-service, but I think after talking about this, hopefully it'll give you a deeper meaning as we take it. So we're going to do it at the end of the service this morning. This is a picture of Christ, of what he has done. And he likes this idea of bread. Now, bread is not one of our staples most of the time in life today. You know, we have many other things. Food is not a shortage. And yet, throughout the scriptures, we have this picture of bread and how it is the sustenance of life, necessity of life. When Jesus taught us to pray, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need today. And they understood this. And so it's interesting, Jesus talks about the idea of bread. I'm going to take you back to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 is this really, like I said, this is the part where Jesus starts offending people. And he starts saying down some hard truths that were hard for them to understand. Can I tell you something? When there's things that are hard to understand, trust in the one who says it. Trust in God. I may not understand it, I may not, but God, you said it's true. You guys have heard the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's not right. God said it, that settles it. Your opinion? Doesn't matter. Pastor, now you're offending. Okay. But look what here in chapter 6. I'm going to read this passage through. Because I think it's important to realize, Jesus said, look, take this bread. This represents my body, which is broken for you, right? Take this bread. What he's saying is referring back to all this picture throughout the scriptures. And in John chapter 6, he brings in the idea of manna. And he ties that in. Just prior to this, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Right? How many of you guys like food? How many like free food? Stay afterwards, we got potluck, right? Yeah. Well, it's like, booyah. All right. And so they came out and Jesus fed them. And guess what? The next day, people showed up and say, hey, where's more food? Right? And so now they have this expectation that Jesus met their need, but now that need has now become a want. And they're like, Jesus, prove yourself. Give us more. Give us. And so he turns around in chapter 6, verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He says, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him. What he talks about here is, look, you guys came out to be filled. But you know what? That's just physical. That's not your real need. Your real need is a spiritual need. There's a spiritual hunger that you need to fill, and only Jesus can fill that. So Jesus automatically started to tell, look, take your eyes off the physical. Now you may think the problem is, you know, I need more money in my bank account. You know, you might think it's the rust in your vehicle. It might be the leak in the ride. You look at all these things. That's not the issue. The issue that really matters is the spiritual issues behind it all. And Lord, help me see through you. So he goes on and says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent him. The key to it all is faith and who you put your faith in. Right? How can I please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Lord, I believe that you are God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe if I ask you into my heart, into my life, you will come in. I believe that you will forgive me of my sins. I believe you will write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that when I die, I will go into your presence forever. Because you said so. All by faith. And Jesus says, believe. Believe. Therefore, he said, what sign will you perform? Right? They're still missing it. Oh, prove yourself, Jesus. Well, anyway, Jesus has already done miracles, right? He's healed. He just fed 5,000, right? Jesus has proved himself over and over again. And yet there's still one more, you know, just one more time. Just one more time. He says, that we may see it and believe in you. What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, right? They're like, look, our forefathers, God fed them in the wilderness. You know how it worked, manna. They woke up every day. There was a little bit of this white substance that they were able to take and make cakes out of it and do all kinds of things with it. They weren't supposed to have more than just one day, because if it didn't, it rots. Some miraculous event that happened on the day before the Sabbath, they were supposed to gather double. And that sustained themselves over that. They're like, God, give us, right? Moses got this bread from heaven. What are you going to give us? Jesus turns around and says, and he said to them, most surely I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Right? They're stuck on the physical. And Jesus says, no. The true bread that comes from heaven, he says, is me. I'm the bread. And I'm the one who satisfies. I'm the one who strengthens you. I'm the one who sustains you. Do you have Jesus? Is really the question. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always, right? They're still missing the point. There they go. Give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread. And they're like, no. We want the physical bread. And Jesus says, no, what you need is the spiritual bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He is the one who satisfies to the woman in the well. He goes, look, I will give you living waters, and you'll never thirst again. Folks, if you have Jesus, you have everything. He is the giver of life. He is the Savior, the forgiver, the restorer. He is the all in all. So this chapter goes on, and the people are all kind of offended. They're like, whoa, right? He says, Jesus, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the world, the life of the world. And the Jews therefore quarreled among them, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they're still missing the point. Jesus says, I'm giving of my body. What he's talking about is the cross. That Jesus is going to die on the cross. His blood will be shed. He is the perfect Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the foundations of the world. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And they're still missing the point because they're so stuck on the physical. And they're like, wait a minute, Jesus, well, how can we eat you? Right? I mean, that's cannibalism, right? I mean, it's appalling. And yet they're missing the spiritual truth in all of this. And then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up to the last day. For my flesh is the food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And Jesus takes this. This is where he offends them. He takes this message and pushes it. The point is, Jesus needs to be your all in all. He's the bread of life. Is he your sustenance? Is he what satisfies? It's interesting, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil says, "Hey, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus says, "Look, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, it's interesting because Jesus could have said this differently that wouldn't have offended. He could have. But he chose not to. Why? Because it's interesting because at this point, the Bible says in John chapter 6 that many left him. Many stopped following him. Because the words were hard. Right? What happens when we don't understand? And I think sometimes God brings us to a point where we don't understand. Because that's where faith kicks in. God, will I trust you? So he turns to his disciples and he tells them, "Look, are you guys going to leave too?" And his disciple says, "Where else is there to go? Who else has the words of life? Lord, we're going to trust in you. And maybe someday we'll understand this. But Lord, we know who you are. You are what we want. There is nowhere else." And so in light of offense, we live in a society today where so many people, because of offense, God, you're calling this sin. But I call this my lifestyle. I want to do this because this makes me happy. And God says, don't do this. Don't lie, don't cheat. Those are the things of the devil. And yet, follow me. And many people are offended by Jesus today. Don't turn away. He's the bread of life. He's the sustenance that you need. He is the thing that will satisfy you. And by faith, Lord, fill in the gaps. Lord, help me to follow you no matter what. But it's interesting because you go through this. Some start leaving. Now, this is hard. We don't understand it. But the disciple says, "No, we're going to stay. By faith, Lord, we'll still follow you." And look what Jesus says at the end of this. He goes, "And it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. And the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So what Jesus says after this, all this, Jesus is saying, "Look, I'm speaking spiritually. I'm not talking about taking a chunk out of my arm. I'm not talking about taking a glass of my blood. I'm speaking about spiritual things that are hard to understand sometimes. But will you trust in me?" So I just imagine this picture that is carried over as Jesus is now in the upper room. He's sitting down with the disciples at that Passover. And he takes the bread that's on the table and he says, he breaks it and broke it and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks. And give you them, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood." These are the elements. Now when we take communion this morning, the bread is bread, and the juice is juice. Nothing magical happens, nothing is transformed. It is bread and it is juice. But we understand the picture that is laid out before us. So as we take this, Lord, this is your, I remember, your body was put upon the cross for me. It was whipped. It was beaten. A crown of thorns were thrust upon your head. A sword, a spear was thrust into your side, all for me. Oh Lord, the cup represents your blood that was shed for me. In here, the pictures that are brought out is the Lord's Supper as we do this morning. It shows the Lord's death. It is his body. It is his blood. 1 Corinthians tells us, this is the passage we usually read when we do communion. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Years ago, I had a lady come up to me after church service and goes, Pastor, you talk too much about the blood. You know, this is the 20th century. You know, we don't have to be so gross nowadays. Can't you just not talk about the blood? No, we can't. The death of Christ was necessary for you and for me. That in here, our salvation is bought. Hebrews tells us that according to the law, almost all things were purified by blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. If Christ did not shed his blood for you, if his body did not hang upon the cross, there'd be no redemption, there'd be no salvation. He paid the debt that you could not. The Bible says he became sin for us. All the shame, all the sin, all the reproach of all the things you have ever done or ever will do was placed upon him, and he paid that debt for you. I don't deserve that. And as we approach this and remember what he did for us, folks, it is the most humbling thing that we can do. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die because you were worthy. He didn't die because you were lovely. Just the opposite. Folks, this drives us just to love him more. I mean, ever had anyone do anything really nice for you? You know, several years ago, someone that we knew pulled us aside and said, the Lord wanted me to give you this, and gave me a check for $1,000. And I was like, wow. And I'm like, no, I can't take it. No, God wants me to give this to you. And I'm like, wow, thank you. I mean, with inflation, everything today is probably worth like $50. But then it was a lot of money. And he's like, take this. And I was like, wow. And then fast forward a little bit, and he's like, hey, you know, John, can you come over and help me? Hey, whatever you need, right? I'm in debt to you. Thank you. Now, he didn't do it so that. But my attitude of gratitude started. How much more so should we look at the precious Son of God who died for you? What else can we do but love him? Right? It's that reminder. The Lord's Supper shows the unity of the church. I'm a little over 20 minutes right now. If Pastor Rose is keeping track. No, I don't say that. You could be in trouble. But we turn around. It brings the unity of the church. He turns around. Remember in the upper room, he says, look, take you all of it, right? All of you take this. At that point, Judas had left. Now we were down to the believers, the true followers of Christ. He says, you all take part of this. Paul told the Corinthians this. He says, I speak as a wise man. Judge for yourselves. What I say, the cup of blessing which we will bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Now, in a way, we take this together. We take of this bread. But this bread just represents Christ. That we are all called to be believers, all followers of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're from West Virginia. It doesn't matter if you're from Texas. It doesn't matter if you're Millinocket. Stockton Springs. It's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all through that sacrifice. It's all through that one bread that we all share together. You know, when we do this, we pass the elements out, and I tell you to hang on to it, and we take it together. You know, this is an amazing thing because that salvation is individual. Christ, you did this for me. Thank you. But then also there is a sense given to the church of God. And somehow we've lost the sense of awe of the bride of Christ. I cringe because it's real popular to diss the church. You know, you want to get on my bad side? Make fun of my wife. Why? Because she's my bride. And I can't imagine how God feels when people diss his bride, which is the church. We are called together in the body. To love, to care for one another. To share together. Because we are all partakers. We are all entered into the family of God, all through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are all deserving of that punishment. And yet, he redeemed us all. The cross is the equalizer. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, popular or not. We are all welcomed through the cross of Jesus Christ. And communion is that reminder of not just what he has done for me, but what he's done for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you read that whole passage, Paul says probably the most nabbing thing to a church. Because he says, when you guys gather together as the church, it is not for your good. That's a powerful statement. There are churches that were better off not gathering together because of the testimony they had for one another. And he goes on, he says, look, some of you guys are coming and you're having a potluck after church. This is a loose translation of chapter 11. But you guys are having a potluck. And some of you are rich and you're eating all this good food. And some of you are poor and you're being excluded. No one is sharing with you. No one cares for you. Some of you are coming and drinking and you're drunk over in the corner. And there's division among you. Shame on the church of God. And he says here, therefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, what? Wait for one another. We are drawn into the family of God. You're my brother and you're my sister. We need to love one another, care for one another, support one another, pray for one another. We are the body of Christ, the bride of the Almighty. Let's act like it. And communion is that pitcher. And we take it together in remembrance of him. Last point here. That in here, communion shows the Lord's death. It brings unity into the church. Lastly, look towards the Lord's return. Notice what he says here back in Matthew 26. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He says, then they sung a hymn, they went out from the Mount of Olives. Jesus says, this is the last time I'm going to share this. But a day is coming when we'll share this together. Right now, as the body of Christ, we gather, we do these elements. Now, Christ is in our midst. But folks, there's a day coming when the marriage supper of the Lamb is called. And there's that great buffet in heaven. And I think, I can't find it. Brother, help me out. I don't think there's calories in heaven. Eat all you want. Come and dine, says the Master. Come and dine. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. What a day that's going to be. That when we take this, there's going to be a day when we have this meal with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he'll share it together with you. Right now, we're doing this in part to remember. Oh, but what a day it's going to be when we see Jesus face to face. When we will sit around and we'll share. And you'll say, that day has come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to share this morning as we share through this passage, we're encouraged by this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, until you come, let us be busy. Lord, until you come, let us share your gospel. Save souls, dear Jesus. Your blood has not lost its power. It is still the power to save. It is still the power to redeem. And God is still working. As often as you do this. Now, indication seems to be the early church did this every time they gathered. We do it once a month. The Bible doesn't say how often we need to do it, but we got to do it enough that we remember. So as we wrap things up, I'm going to pray. Facebook is going to be turned off. And we'll just gather here together as the church. And if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come and dine. Come be a part. Because we're all family. Of sharing what he's done for us as a testimony, Lord, that this is your body that was beaten and bruised, put upon the cross, the nails put in your hands and feet, the crown of thorns thrust upon your head for me. That, Lord, this juice represents your blood that was shed. That each drop was given for my shame and my sin. But praise God, that though your sins may be as scarlet, they may be white as snow. Oh, what a picture that is. Lord, help me to love you. May we leave here united together in spirit, in purpose and in cause, as a bride of Christ proclaiming salvation through Jesus and him alone. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the encouragement, the strength we draw from it. Lord, we are often so forgetful. Lord, help us to remember. Remember who I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, in here, help me remember you, the Almighty God, Creator, the Judge, who loves us, that you died for us. Lord, help us to remember that great love. May we leave here rejoicing in what you've done for us. Challenge us with the purpose you have laid before us. And Lord, give us the hope of your coming. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.